Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Kaya Biz with Google at 4P.
On kaya959. On the street, on the air.
It's 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Of course, it is a Thursday. That does mean in a few moments, we will be shifting gears to get into one of my most favorite features here on the show called Pivot Point. One where we speak to influential business leaders about their stories, pivotal experiences, personally and professionally, that have shaped the innovative solutions that they bring to South Africa's environment. But before we get there, I find that our first hour has been so informative. And of course, we want to hear from you. Many of you have been reflecting on the conversation that we have on the film environment, and that was really using not multi-choice, but rather Ster-Kinekor as a case study. And in a moment or a moment ago, you might have heard us speak to the head of operations at the NFVF, Onke Dumeka. Unathi G actually asked on WhatsApp, who was the lady we were speaking to that was Onke Dumeka of the NFVF, essentially explaining that unfortunately the closures of almost 9 cinemas from Ster-Kinekor is something that is regrettable and can be avoidable. But it does speak to the full ecosystem of the creative space, where we have the funding and the capital available to support members of the arts to produce local content. But we also need to invest in the distribution networks to carry this content, which currently do exist. But a very important aspect is creating the local demand, where you and I as a South African would actively take money out of our pockets to go and watch local South African content at our cinemas. So it is regrettable that we are seeing Ster-Kinekor face this particular challenge, but bear in mind, it's not just on the back of the pandemic, it's not just on the back of streaming services, it really is a culmination of many of these themes. We also had an intriguing conversation with Mudiwa Gavaza, who was telling us more about the deal between Canal Plus and MultiChoice. And slowly, slowly, they've been increasing their stake in that business. And if we're not careful, it just might go to 51%. I say careful because there are a number of intricacies that we need to bear in mind. Everything from the local ownership in terms of the success of their BE arm, Putumanati, listed on the local stock exchange and easily tradable between black South Africans in the country, but also understanding the impact on content creation, content curation, and of course, what this does mean in terms of the local regulation that we have in South Africa regarding the ownership of media companies. A lot that we've discussed, many angles and perspectives that we continue to share. But most importantly, what we are looking for is to have a better understanding of our ecosystem, and from there, have a better understanding as to how best we need to provide solutions to the local environment. This and so much more is what we've discussed on Kaya Biz this evening. If you missed out on any of it, do log on to our website, kaya959.co.za. Click on Kaya Biz and you can listen back on our podcasts.
Pivot Point on Kaya Biz.
It's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Time for one of my favorite conversations that we have here on the show, Pivot Point. It's an opportunity for us to engage with individuals who are key leaders within our business fraternity in South Africa. Innovators, entrepreneurs, problem solvers who themselves have journeyed through very pivotal experiences that shape in South Africa that they bring to the fore. Skalk Malan, maybe a name that might not be very familiar to you, but if you think about Bright Rock, its unique positioning from an insurance point of view, it really does touch the lives of many South Africans in making sure that they match our needs as a life insurance company. So much success has been attained within this business that was founded over 15 years ago, has metamorphosized to meet industry needs, and since then has actually been bought out by one of its competitors at a much more bigger scale in South Africa. So joined in studio now by Skalk Malan, the CEO of Bright Rock. Such a pleasure to have you with us, sir.
Oh, thank you, Gugu, and thanks for having me.
I'm excited to speak to you. I was practicing my Afrikaans before you walked in. Ek het Afrikaans tweede taal vir redenaars gedoen, hè?
But that sounds very good.
I tried. But such a pleasure to have you, and I think, Skalk, for many South Africans, geez, your story is one of phenomenal growth. I remember hearing about Bright Rock a few years ago when I worked at MoneyWeb, and Ali Cog was actually having very bold conversations with you about the insurance environment in South Africa, specifically long-term insurance, which is the area that you played in. And to now see that you found an opportunity to grow this business into such a gem that Sanlam comes along and says, hey, we'd like to buy you out. It's quite a journey, right?
No, it's been absolutely incredible. I mean, when we got together towards the end of 2010 already, we started having conversations as a founding team. And that proverbial dining room table has become quite a bit of a legend within Bright Rock. You know, if you walk into the Bright Rock building, you'll see a dining room table in our reception. Absolutely.
Is that where the business idea started?
And it was literally started in one of my partners' dining room around the table, talking about the potential. And, you know, we were a group of individuals that had lots of experience in the industry, lots of diverse experience, which I think is always critical when you want to start on that journey. You've got to, you know, your skills must be complementary, Google. And, you know, launching in 2012, absolutely an unbelievable experience, taking that conceptual idea of our needs-matched insurance product to market. And as you've explained, I mean, saw lots of challenges over time, lots of changes that we had to adapt to. But really an absolutely incredible journey, being where we are today. And as you said, you know, closing that transaction with Sanlam towards first part of last year.
Yes.
Really, I think culminated, and I think put credit to what's been achieved. But it really is also a platform really to allow Bright Rock to really step up the gear, you know, and really take the business to that next level, which I'm really excited about. And
maybe tell us more about that. I'm starting at the end, because in a moment I will ask you to take us back. But for many entrepreneurs, once you do have that partnership with a bigger business and essentially sell your stake to them, some might review, you know, the future growth prospects with a sense of anxiety, because truth be told, you're no longer perhaps as hands-on. Or is the case different for you at Bright Rock?
Yeah, no, very, very different. So, you know, I think firstly, people might not be aware of this, but Sanlam already purchased a majority stake in Bright Rock back in 2017. So, and it was part of a journey. I mean, we really had a lot of time to get used to, you know, having such a large shareholder, institutional shareholder involved in the business. And you'll appreciate, Google, you know, life insurance is a business that's got high barriers to entry. It's capital intensive business, lots of infrastructure, a very regulated environment. So it really just made sense to us back then. And it gave us opportunity to really mature as a business from a lot of aspects. And when that transaction was closed towards last year, it was really just a culmination of long conversations, but it allowed us actually now to say, business as usual, pretty much. You know, Sanlam bought into the team. Sanlam bought into what the brand is. Sanlam also bought into what the product's offering. And, you know, you said in your introduction it was a competitor, and it's very much so.
Yeah.
And what's amazing, I'll share the stat with you, the overlap between Bright Rock and Sanlam business in the market is very small, actually. So we appeal to a very different market, and combined forces means that we're the largest market share in the broker market in South Africa. So it really made sense for them as a group to say, you know, we're backing Bright Rock, we're ensuring that they continue on that journey of innovation, of disruption. And so that works. And it obviously works for us, because we can continue to deliver on our vision. And in fact, it could accelerate, and it is accelerating our vision and objective. So it's really a great partnership. And, you know, last thing I want to say about this transaction is, you know, Sanlam has become quite familiar and well-known for supporting brands in various markets that they've entered, and enabling that management team, enabling the brand, and supporting and taking them from strength to strength. But you will always find the skeptics, you know, and that's only time will sort that out, you know, and it's already a year later, and Bright Rock has done exceptionally well in the last year and continue to do so.
Definitely. I'm so glad that you've, you know, unpacked this, because typically that's always what we think from the outside looking in, that, whoa, okay, now that they've bought you out, is it still as malleable, as flexible, and as independent and exponential in terms of the growth that you can continue to find?
Absolutely.
And Skalk, this is part of the secret sauce that people don't know about Bright Rock. As you mentioned, largely distributing your product base through the stockbroker environment, which, number one, speaks to trust, which is something that I do want us to touch on. It's very important within the financial services space, but also just the level of exponential growth that you happen to experience, especially after the 2012 period.
Yeah.
Something was happening in your secret sauce there that certainly helped your success.
Look, Gugu, I think it was many faceted. There's never one, you know, silver bullet, as we like to say, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was really, you know, that vision that we set out literally from that first day around that dining room table was very clear in our heads to be able to deliver a product that offered clients efficiency that's beyond measure. So in other words, being able to strip out waste for our clients, being able to offer them 40, 50% more cover for the same premium. And It was simply by utilizing technology, stripping out waste that typically goes to waste later in time for clients. That immediately meant your price point and your ability to differentiate was there. You know, you had to have a great value proposition. Then the ability to say, listen, we're going to be able to have the product adapt and change as your needs change. Unique. There's no product in the world that can do that from a life insurance point of view that's been 100%. Underwritten. To say, if your needs change, you want to buy more cover, you want to change your cover from death cover to disability or vice versa, you can do that. Very, very powerful features within the product. Now, that was one component, Kugo. The other key thing, you know, which I love to talk about from an entrepreneurial point of view is, if you look at the BrightRock team, is we built the business from the ground up on many components. It wasn't just a product. It was a new brand established in South Africa, which is a proudly South African story.
And that's huge, right? Because again, speaking of massive competitors, they've been in this industry for almost over a century.
Over a century. Massive, right? It was a fresh approach. It created for people to say, okay, there's a new kid on the block.
Mm.
Okay. Then also you had to develop a brand new product, and then coming with that, a distribution team that adopted this technology in their heads. They had to relearn, basically, the sales team. Relearn. And the key thing around that whole team was galvanized around this vision of changing an industry, being an active ingredient to, let's be frank here, quite a concretized, people might from the outside argue, a bit of a stale industry, but being able to disrupt, to change. And having people behind that, I think that was the secret sauce of people. If you walk into the BrightRock office today and you ask, what is BrightRock all about? I'm pretty sure you'll get an answer. You know, maybe not the same answer than me, and I really hope it's not the same answer, but an answer that they relate to, that they've made their own. And that's the difference.
I'm going to come back to the people sentiment in just a moment, because it's so important, especially within the realm of work that you operate in, because you mentioned disruption. And that tells us that, you know, it's not just insurance is insurance is insurance, and you push a product and you move on. I'm keen to understand, as you talk about the life insurance environment, you mentioned stripping away some of the waste. And I think it's so important for you perhaps to take us into understanding that dynamic, especially for many Black South Africans. When we think life insurance, we prioritize funeral cover.
Yep.
Life insurance, there's a perception that, oh no, I don't want people benefiting from my death.
Yep.
But what you've described in terms of this change, this evolving product that meets your needs as your life develops and grows, is something that many consumers need to be aware of, specifically, I guess, the middle Black class, income class in South Africa.
I just absolutely love talking about this. You know, there's such a opportunity, firstly, but there's also such a need out there. So if I talk about just traditional products, as you say, there are, on the one side, there's funeral products, and then there are what we call all the way to your underwritten products that that offer your life cover, disability cover, dread disease cover. And, you know, we operate in both those spaces. We've got a fantastic funeral product that we partner with funeral parlors in the market and really take people on that journey. And then we've got the fully underwritten product. And that's where a lot of that differentiation came about, where we said, listen, your traditional, let's call it life cover, Google, if you go to your life company today, you buy 1 million rands worth of life cover or 5 million or 10 million rands worth of life cover. But typically, that life cover will grow by one set rate or by inflation. But the question you should ask yourself and your listeners tonight, you'll ask themselves, if I buy that 1 million rands worth of life cover, what am I going to use it for? Is it enough? Is it going to settle my debt? Is it going to cover my funeral? And the moment you start asking that question, what is it for?
Yes.
The lights start coming on, okay? Because if you think the purpose of life cover, it's very much to take care of your loved ones when you can't take care of yourself. Let's talk about, you know, it's not just a lump sum that's there to pay for a funeral, maybe pay for some executor's fees and that. It's very quite often the main need for that is covering debts, because the last thing you want is to burden your loved ones with the house that they live in there that's still incumbent through a debt, to be able to pay that off through your life insurance. And it's a very cost-effective vehicle to do that. Second most important thing is, we always ask people, what's your most valuable asset on your balance sheet?
Mm.
Especially youngsters. I'm talking youngsters. I'm still see myself as a youngster. But
of course,
if you're in your 40s, even that.
And is it my property? Is it my car? Is it the business perhaps that I run as a sole proprietor?
And that's what people answer. But yes, that's not really the right answer.
Uh-huh.
Because if all of us sitting here, we're earning a salary, you've got potential to earn still for the next 20, 30 years. Now, add up all your paychecks, your future paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
That is surely your most valuable asset.
100%.
And the last thing you want to do is lose that ability to generate that income to be able to deliver on that asset. And that's what life insurance is all about.
Yeah.
Most importantly. And the moment that you start appreciating that, if you look at the Brightrock product, we, instead of just saying, Google, here's a lump sum and you do it whatever you want, we ask you, what are those needs? What are you really needing this cover for? And the moment you answer that question, we can say, Google, you need 10 million rands actually for covering your future paychecks if you want to make sure your kids are okay. Because that number is big. Add up all your future paychecks for the next 30 years. You get to a big number very quickly. I'm just picking a number.
Especially if you're increasing it by inflation, right?
Absolutely. Then we start talking about your debt, your kids' education. Now, if you price each of those components, cut out a lot of waste that was not needed later. And that's where Brightrock really steps into its own. And if you talk about your black middle class consumers, you know, your needs as a customer, a client, whether you earn a huge salary, a small salary, a middle salary, I'm not going to put numbers to that because it's relative to everybody. You probably got kids. You probably got debts. Your needs are the same. The quantum of those needs might be different.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you're in a financial product that can protect that. Funeral makes up one element of your needs. And what we know, and Google, sorry, I'm waxing off here. You must please
stop. I love
the
passion. Keep it coming. And you know what I'm learning from this, though, as well, Skalk, is as you're describing this, you're literally saying, don't just focus on a number and a figure that someone pushes in front of you through a product. You're actually saying, evaluate your life.
Absolutely.
What are the things that are important and that you currently take care of that will need to be taken care of in future that an insurance or risk cover product can actually provide for? And what I'm learning from this is that you're heightening the level of financial literacy, understanding, and responsibility.
And you know, that's such a valuable point. I mean, I've seen it so many times with people put in front of the Brightrock product, and they get confronted with this product, and we've designed the product that people actually can understand it themselves without having advice. In other words, an advice component then can just complement that understanding, but it's key a client can understand. And the moment they get confronted with your needs and the reasons for wanting that cover, that's the moment that the question starts coming through.
Yeah.
And that's when advice, the value of advice really starts shining through. Think about it.
Yes.
If it's a one-sided conversation, you don't really get the best result.
Mm.
And, you know, I would love that clients, you know, or your listeners tonight, really just start answering asking some questions, firstly of themselves, and then of the advisor or the products that they want to consume, to say, what do I actually need it for? Okay, what are the options available?
Mm.
I mean, we haven't even spoken about things like disability cover and that. What are the things that keep me awake at night?
Yes.
Is it cancer?
Yes.
Is it a stroke? Okay, those are all things that can immediately, overnight, put your whole world upside down, as we know.
Exactly. Okay?
And you want to have that peace of mind that if something happens to me, my journey, the ability to still generate that same asset that I spoke about earlier, my future paychecks, can continue.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And yeah, so Google, I think there's a huge opportunity from not just an education, but also an exciting opportunity to partner with your up-and-coming middle-class, black middle-class clients to educate them and to expose them to this opportunity that's there on various products.
I'm appreciative that you've been so open about this because as a black South African myself, having understood the dynamics around life insurance and long-term risk cover and also witnessing what is available in the market, there is that dynamic of mistrust, miscommunication, and even a misunderstanding. So these kind of nuggets that you're sharing with us today, actually, Skalk, open up people's understanding so much further for us to say, hold on, let's really reassess the environment. And this also speaks to trust, and it comes back to the point around people and the brokers that you work with.
Yeah.
There's typically a statement in the township where people say, they just sell insurance because that's what we often associate with any kind of risk cover.
I respect that. Yeah.
You respect it, but you've done something something different about it at Bright Rock by building that trust and not just pushing product. How have you managed that with your team, continued going forward? In other words, you're like an actuary with a heart, man. You care.
You know what, Gugu? Especially when we've got induction of new people joining Bright Rock.
Yeah.
I think what's critically important for people to appreciate about life insurance when they serve clients and customers out there, is realization that the product is built on trust. Because think about it. You're asking a client to pay their hard-earned premiums every month to an insurance company. Okay, the only thing they get in return is a piece of paper today, a contract that says, if something happens to you, we'll pay. So they're putting their full faith as a customer into the hands of the life insurance company to actually take care of their most precious, their children, their family, their funeral. So the trust in that is absolutely critical. And it starts with that humbleness inside a business that says, we're here to serve. You know, one of our key cornerstones in the business is talk about careful, caring.
Yes.
So being full of care.
Yes.
And we really talk a lot about that in our business. And we see ourselves as that responsibility of taking care of other people when they can't take care of themselves, because that's the job of life insurance.
100%.
And it's about moving that narrative away. And, you know, I think, yes, there is a lot of unscrupulous behavior. Yes, there's a lot of traditional mis-selling that's happened. But the industry is starting to clean up. It's becoming much more professional. And I think the industry, you know, is just preparing. You know, if you think about the value that the South African life insurance industry is putting out into the market, I'll give you one stat.
Sure.
That might be interesting is if you look just in the last 6 months of 2023, and these are CISA stats, the claim amounts that was paid by life insurance or financial services, life insurance companies in South Africa for 6 months in 2023 was nearly 280 billion rand.
Sure. That's bigger than the market cap of some listed companies there.
And just to put that in perspective, the social grants paid by the South African government was around 260 billion. Okay. And that's not a critical, it's not being critical of anything. It's just giving you a relative comparison of the significant value being added into the industry and allowing families to utilize those funds to, as I said, continue their lives, take care of their family. And that's a significant contribution. And in terms of that trust buildup, I think those discussions need to be had to say there's a huge value in that. And it's a very effective way for families to protect their wealth, to continue their wealth.
Definitely.
And build up their wealth or protect their wealth while they're building that.
Definitely. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Schalk Malan, the CEO of Bright Rock, a formidable long-term insurance company that has been in the South African market for just over 15 years now. And of course, has been contributing to shifting and changing the lives of South Africans through adequate financial advice, good financial advice, and of course, offering the right solutions that do meet your financial needs. Schalk, you mentioned something so important when it comes to trust. And as you said, the industry is cleaning up, you know, brokers are fully understanding the needs of their clients. But clients themselves have a responsibility to be truthful. And I say this because I know we don't typically bring these conversations up on air with many of your counterparts in the insurance industry, but we really do need to understand that there is an opportunistic market out there that actively conducts fraud and wants to have fraudulent claims paid out for their own benefit, which does then add to the murkiness in the industry and increase regulation at times.
Yeah, no, and look, it is an ongoing challenge, and it will always be the case, you know. But I want to say, on balance, you know, insurance companies have evolved, and I think technology has evolved to the level that, in I would say, most cases, I don't want to put a stat to that,
sure.
That is picked up these days, you know, with access to data. I mean, and examples that you will talk about or you would refer to is you might see clients that might know that something is, unfortunately, and they've got a health concern and there's a severe health concern, and then that's the point where they actually take out the insurance and they don't tell the insurance, and then it's not insurance because you're going to claim from a known event. Okay, it's outside actually the definition of insurance. Insurance is not to create a windfall for something that you knew what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Right? But these days, these things get picked up, whether it be through health data or data from your medical insurance or data from any other type of source. These things, in most cases, get, and it's not worth it. It's absolutely not worth it, because the point that a claim then occurs, it's too late to do anything about it.
Yeah.
But if you start your policy and you do have some health concerns, the best possible route is actually to be transparent, to be clear about your health condition, because in most cases, Gugu, the insurer could probably make a plan.
Exactly. And it's not a penalty. And it's, I think that's also important. People often think, oh, if you disclose that you smoke, disclose that you're diabetic, you'll be penalized for it. No.
There can be a plan. And yes, there might be a loading on your premium. There might be an exclusion.
Yes.
And there's various tools, but you can still enjoy the cover that you need for your family. And these are things that's, again, you talk about education and that. It's simply, in this modern era, simply not something that goes without being found out in most cases.
Definitely. Scott, this has been an intriguing conversation and it's going to continue. We just have to play ads. But if you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Scott Milan, the CEO of BrightRock. If you haven't heard of them, where have you been? One of the most innovative companies within the long-term insurance space in South Africa that has grown in terms of entrepreneurship, grown in terms of market reach and penetration, so much so that it is owned by Sanlam, who have been long-term partners of the business, essentially growing with it in terms of its market penetration. Do stay with us. We've been speaking to Skalk Milan, really giving us some insight into the dynamics of insurance. But in a moment when we come back, we'll dig a little bit deeper into the entrepreneurial journey, how he continues to find levels of excitement within an industry he's been in for a while, and of course, future growth prospects for BrightRock. A formidable conversation that we're having this evening on Pivot Point, one of my favorite features where we speak to influential business leaders in South Africa and beyond, essentially about their business journeys and pivotal experiences that they've faced within their careers. Tonight, we speak to Skalk Milan, who joins us as the CEO of BrightRock. If you don't know about them, a company that was really brought together by individuals sitting around a dining room table and today contributing to the livelihoods and sustainable financial education, well-being and prospects of many South African families through its innovative solutions. And Skalk, just before the ad break, we were really journeying around, you know, improving our understanding around insurance, which, as mentioned, is something that I'm very passionate about on this particular platform, for all of us to have a better understanding of, hold on, what solutions are out there to meet my personal financial needs and objectives? And you were adding some context around, it's not about product offering. It's not about this pricing being more competitive than the other. But for Gugu, Skalk, and individuals in their capacity to actually say, hold on, am I finding what I need? And that in itself highlights the level of financial education.
Yeah, and it starts with that little bit of curiosity. And you know, in terms of financial literacy, I mean, I know it's a topic that people are scared of. They're nervous about that. But we all manage our finances on a daily basis.
Yep.
You know, we've got expenses to cover. We've got income. So we're all financially literate. That's
exactly
where it starts and ends. So the moment that you then grab that and say, okay, let me just find out a little bit more. And we always advise clients to say, the moment that you, at that point, you get nervous, go and speak to somebody that knows. There are financial advisors, great ones, that's there ready to help you. And get somebody that you relate to. Get somebody that you can trust. I mean, you talk about trust. I spoke about the definition of an insurance contract is premised on trust.
Yeah.
So you need to find the comfort and that you trust, not just the insurance company that you support, but also the advisor that really takes you on this journey. And most often it's a journey. I think that's also what a lot of us miss. You know, we worry about the end game. You know, we think, oh shucks, if I don't get that level of cover or that solution, I'm rather gonna step away. That's not the case. Start somewhere and build it. And I think the same applies with building your investments, you know, buying investments. These days you can start from as little as a few rands, you know, a few hundred rands.
Exactly.
And start building up that portfolio. But you got to start somewhere.
Exactly. And owning part of a share and improving that knowledge and
Absolutely.
Information that you're able to tap into. Skalk, I want to talk about your entrepreneurial journey. And as you mentioned, you were all gathered around a dining room table well over 15 years ago and this idea of BrightRock essentially started. Truth is, you could have been a chief actuary at one of these other competing companies. What drove you to want to contribute to the economy in this manner?
Yeah, I think Google, a few components lies there in that answer. I think the first one is, you know, I had the privilege to be working for more than 7 years by the time that we started having the conversations at Discovery at that period. I mean, that's a well-known fact. So I don't.
Yeah.
And gained huge amount of experience in product development, and in that journey understood that there are definitely opportunities to innovate, definitely opportunities to change a market, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'll just give you a personal example to that. You know, I was looking at my personal policy at some point, and, you know, where you project and you show these cover amounts that just goes into these telephone numbers over time.
True.
And your premiums just run away. As well, you know, it's in the and I realized, but nobody's going to be able to afford, I'm not going to be able to afford that level of cover at that point, given the premium, because, you know, you shouldn't look at your premium and think, oh, I'll be okay in 10 or 20 years time to be able to pay the premium. You got to say to yourself, as a percentage of my spend that I'm willing to do, like we talk about share of wallet,
yes, right?
What am I paying today? And if I project my salary by inflation 10, 20 years time, what would I be paying of my salary at that point in time? Mm. Am I paying more, less, or the same? Now, the moment you start doing that, and yes, that requires some advice, and quite often you realize that there was a problem, because life insurance, most people want to hold it out for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
That's the point. That's why it's called life insurance, right? And the moment that doesn't work anymore, because the product is not sustainable, and we talk about sustainability these days quite in very diverse fields, you know, you got to innovate and change. So that was the first driver. The second driver was, you know, having the absolute privilege to work with and partner with people that were just absolutely brilliant. Google, that's such an opportunity to just grab onto, you know. And
is this your business partner, Sean?
My business, Sean, Suzanne.
Yes.
You know, and it was an unbelievable, diversely complementary team that was just ready to take on. And then I think the other thing that's also a driver in most entrepreneurs is just that challenge of, can we do this?
Yeah.
You know, and you don't always appreciate the challenges that you'll face. You sometimes might even be naive, and most entrepreneurs will tell you that, you know, if they look back. But that's part of that journey, and that's part of the excitement to be able to just go for it. And,
definitely.
And work through every single problem and challenge, and know with the knowledge that you've got a team around with you, not around you, with you, that you can solve problems that come your way, and you'll adjust. And, you know, that journey from that point, I mean, it was not just the product conceptual, as I said, the people, but also that challenger mindset made that journey very exciting, and you know, as you say, the growth came from that, and as a
definitely.
Result.
Definitely. Yeah. And I find this so refreshing, because it's exactly what entrepreneurs need to get going, but not just to get going, but to keep going.
Yeah.
Skalk, when this conversation and this feature on the show started, it was just after 2020, where the word pivot was certainly thrown around in every conversation.
Yeah.
And the reason why we call it Pivot Point is because we're well aware that there were a lot of pivotal lessons as well that came out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
In your industry, I can imagine that there were a few.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I mean, we are still seeing a changed world since COVID, and I think everybody is. I mean, the way that we work, the way that we operate, the way that we think about life insurance has changed,
yeah.
You know? I think I studied about pandemics, and you kind of shelve it in the back of your mind. Ugh, you know, it's something that happened back in 1918.
It's like Black Swan event is now becoming Black Swan season, huh? Because there's always something
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. And Google, nothing could prepare us, but, you know, I always try to take away the positives from, which was absolutely horrific to, I would argue, every single family in South Africa was affected
True.
By that. You know, the positivity from that is, again, as a team, as a group of people, you know, got galvanized through that period in terms of having to overnight find solutions of how we're going to have people working remote. I mean, in this story, most people sitting here would probably tell you a similar story. But coupled with that, you know, being still a relatively small business, you know, and a young business, 7 years old at that point in time, just over 7 years. And then having to face a spike in claims, increase in claims, and had to find unique solutions in that process. So was it a pivot for us to having to change direction of the business? No. Was it a realization of our immense responsibility what we have towards families, to our clients out there, to be able
following
to take
up
care
on
of
that contract you
following
mentioned.
Following up about on that contract.
Yes.
And I think every single person within BrightRock, and I think the life insurance industry as a whole as well,
yeah,
never before have taken that responsibility as seriously from that point. And that we see changes systemically in the industry, yes. The whole industry looks at risk very differently. I mean, we are more careful than we were. I mean, the impact, the post-COVID impact is still there, present in claims.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely seeing pickups in suicide-type related claims in the industry, which is horrific. I think the economy is still battling to recover. But we as a business were, as I said earlier, very clear on our vision, and we continue to build on that vision, you know. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Skalk, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I've thoroughly relished in this conversation because you've really given us a full 360 view of how we need to evaluate our lives, the importance of life cover, funeral cover, disability, dread disease, all aspects that do play a very critical role in just ensuring that the things, the people, and the assets that we want to take care of can actually be restored, even in the event of death or perhaps not being able to earn that income. You've highlighted our awareness of financial education, financial understanding, and most importantly, the responsibility that we also play going forward, and also shared some amazing insights on your entrepreneurial journey.
We
wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Is there a new company that you might launch soon, or any breaking news,
no.
here, Skull?
No, definitely no breaking news, but but you know, we're looking forward to our next steps. We're continuing on our product journey. You know, we've got a unbelievable, as I said, team. We've got a fantastic new generation technology inside the business, so very little legacy challenges. So we're looking to build out our product set and our product development. But then also, you know, I'm a big believer, last point around, of focusing on what you have and making sure you're the absolute best in that, you know. So also making sure that all our client support, client service, because life insurance is very much about servicing our clients, is there. And that's a big focus for us as well. So looking forward to the next year, 2 years, 5 years, to see where BrightRock's going.
Well, we
look
wish
out for
you
us.
All the best,
thank
no
you.
Doubt. And really, I want to continue witnessing this proudly South African success.
Absolutely.
Such a pleasure speaking to you this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Skalk Malan, who's the CEO of BrightRock, having actively participated in sharing such phenomenal insight this evening on Pivot Point, not only about the life insurance industry, the journey to entrepreneurship, and even a few lessons for you and I to fully reevaluate what our relationship with money is, with wealth is, and how we can adequately provide for it. So do share your thoughts with us. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.